I'm Naomi, and this is the Sleepy House Healing Podcast. Hi, friends. It's me, Naomi. If you're listening to this, you probably know that because I haven't been telling people I have a podcast. I haven't been doing anything on Patreon, even the stuff that I have said that I would, because I've hit a wall. Yeah, I got off Twitter because that shit was draining my life force. I ended with the job that I mentioned. Maybe you're in a place similarly where you have expected the continuation of a part of your life, of a sentence, and instead there's a period now. I have very mixed feelings about all of it. Yeah, this is that little pocket in between two eclipses, right? A lot of us are dealing with heavy, intense emotions and quick changes that can kind of leave us with like a type of whiplash, is what I feel. I feel like I've just been very little has happened, and at the same time I feel like I've been whipped between waves of external shit and internal ocean as well. So that's where I'm at. That's where I'm coming from with this little reading and update. I'm gonna get back on Patreon. I'm going to open my books and get back to doing what I do best. I got a reading myself a couple of days ago to look at my fixed stars, and yeah, just finding all kinds of things out about myself and having some confirmation about things that I've long suspected but sort of just thought, oh, well, that's just like me falling into victim mode, or is that just me like assuming the worst about, you know, myself or others? No, I learned, I sort of had it confirmed that I'm prone to the evil eye. I'm prone to people assuming the worst about me and my intentions, and not everyone, you know, obviously. It feels like there are some people who are very much like signed up, want to participate in anything I do, anything I write, anything I create. And those of you like that, I just thank you so much. I appreciate you. And you've kept me going in a lot of ways. And on the other hand, there are people who, whether through misunderstanding or through just genuine dislike, put some bad medicine on me. That's real. And it's one of those things that, like, for a long time, I can kind of sense, you know, like in readings and with other people, like a lot of times people can get in their heads that like, oh, I'm hexed. And really, it's like, no, some of this is like the result of like our own actions, our own choices, right? And I take ownership for my choices. I take ownership for the things that I've done that have made my life more complicated, that have made things worse for me in the long run, or more challenging, I'll put it that way. But there's another component here, and I don't know, in a way I feel relieved that like, okay, there's actually something there that's like somebody else, other people can see it, and it's not just me like getting in my head or lacking discernment or, you know, just being bad, not being good enough to understand my stuff, right? But on the other hand, right, like maybe I just said that. On the other hand, it's like, oh, now this is confirmed. I have what feels like, for me, this personal internal evidence. And now what? Like, how do I deal with that? How do I protect myself and my sphere, you know, my family, my people? So that's where I'm at. Yeah, that's the thing that's come up for me during this eclipse pocket, that and so many other things. I don't want to get into the job stuff. I don't know. It sucks that I felt like, oh, this is what I'm going to do. It's going to be like this. It's not like that. New plan, you know. I do feel freedom though, because I needed to get off Twitter. I needed to get out of the social media just hamster wheel that a lot of us find ourselves on, whether it's from our own projects and this kind of work, or if it's from, you know, doing work for other people where we have to use our own personal socials, which I don't think I'm ever gonna like allow again. I'm not gonna do that because, yeah. Anyhow, so we have this eclipse coming up on November 8th, same day as the election. Yeah. So this intensity kind of, it comes to a head again, right? As I always say, I'm not an astrologer, but I've gotten much deeper. And at this point, I have experienced enough eclipses and eclipse seasons to know that it's just really not a predictable time. I'm not trying to predict it. I'm saying just protect your energy, do the best you can. And you know what? If you disassociate a little bit, that's your mind's way of protecting you. So accept it if that's where you're at. Like, that's my tendency, right? Like, it's don't beat yourself up about it. Trying to bounce out of a harsh, terrifying reality. Again, not an astrologer, but I do know that we're in, as a country, if you're in the US like I am, we're in Pluto return, which is the signature of the end of an empire. And I'm pretty sure, I may be wrong about this, but I'm pretty sure it is the same transit that was occurring during the fall of Rome. And that's really terrifying for a lot of people. Even those of us who are like, you know, America's not great. Like, the more history that that we learn on our own outside of the American school system, right? The more it's like, oh, how is anyone patriotic, right? Those of you listening who are anti-capitalist and, you know, in many ways have woken up to like the reality of American imperialism, like it's still scary that all the structures that we've known for so long are going to fall apart. And who does it affect the most? You know, I mean, I feel like it affects the poor and marginalized people the most. People without resources get hit first and hardest. So I don't know, the fall of empire as a concept is, you know, it's great because like fuck this empire in so many ways, and at the same time everything that, even though I know it isn't solid, even though we know that this country is held together by like thoughts and prayers, right? It's terrifying that all that we know could be thrown into fascism, right? Which is kind of where we're headed, it feels like. And yeah, it's a good time to lean on your tools and each other. And pretty sure Mars is also retrograde. So just watch out for, like, you know, some choosing your battles, like some things you really do need to fight for. But notice if you're arguing and just draining your energy and getting your blood pressure up for things that will make absolutely no material difference in anyone's lives. Okay. This is why I'm off Twitter, because I want to fight. I want to argue. I see people say the stupidest shit I've ever witnessed all day, every day, and I can't take it anymore. And also, I've participated, you know, I've shared horrible takes before, just not thinking things through, or shared a joke that someone takes as serious, which is something that just happens like constantly. And I mean this in the most loving way, but I think a lot of us are extremely triggered and traumatized from our own spheres, like from our own lives. And then we get online and we see other people just having either what we perceive as a good time, or we perceive whatever they're saying as a threat, though it has maybe nothing to do with us. Or maybe it's just not that serious, right? Everything feels serious when you're in a state of reactivity. And none of this is to say that if you're doing that, you're bad, or that I'm judging you. I'm you. Like, we're not that different if that's what's happening. So be kind to yourself. Ugh, as always, the thing that we have to come back to is acceptance and compassion, and accepting where we're at, who other people are, or how they're behaving is not saying that it's okay, right? You might be familiar with this if you have family, or especially a parent that just isn't, that doesn't show up or has not met your needs. As a child, one of the things that therapists tend to talk about is just accepting them as they are. And it doesn't mean that it's okay. It doesn't mean you even have to be in contact. But we're not holding on to hope that someone is going to change longstanding patterns. I will say that this time is great for changing your own. And if you're ready for that, you know, I wouldn't make any sudden moves right now during eclipse time, but like, it's a great time for reflection and just, yeah, if you need to check out, if you need to zone out, if you need to meditate. I mean, I want to say be present always, observe, be present, show up. But there are times where you just cannot do that and be okay, right? If you cannot show up and be okay and be in your integrity, then don't show up. I that is my opinion. You know, I have started playing this little game called Cats and Soup. You might have heard of it. I spend a couple hours a day playing that game while listening to podcasts or books on tape or books on tape. Oh my gosh. Aging myself. Listening to audiobooks from Libby. Get them for free, okay? Utilize some of our last resources that are totally free. It does depend on what your library has in stock, but I am actually re-listening to some books that I have read previously because I just internalize information better in an audio format, which is sort of why I made this podcast. Though I tend to ramble, I always hope that you get something, some little tidbit from it that can serve as an anchor, or yeah, just a little guidance for difficult times, which I feel like we're just in for a while, especially as the weather grows colder. Though where I am, it's very warm still. I think about people that have to live outside, and I think about our relationship with the earth and how in a lot of cases we're fighting nature. We fight what is just naturally meant to be happening. And one of the things that I feel like is so important to me in my practice, it's actually not doing so many rituals, though I love ritual. I'm not doing them now as it's eclipse time. So I'm hanging out and just doing my regular like devotional practice and ancestral reverence, but I'm not trying to manifest anything at the moment so much. But yeah, so the point is, in my practice, it's not so much anymore about the spells and the making stuff happen, though I encourage you to do so. When the astrological weather feels a little more smooth. More so, it is important, I think, to view ourselves as a part of this interconnected world, this web of life, and working with the flow of nature. giving offerings that are biodegradable, giving blessings, giving back to the earth in a way where we can reduce some of the harm. One of the stars that I found out is prominent in my fixed stars is, I think I'm saying this correctly, I just learned about all of this for myself, but Algol, Mother Earth, but she's angry. So it's like the destructive force of Mother Earth, and I feel that more and more. It's not a revenge thing, right? Like, it's not, I don't want to personify, at least more so than mythology already has. I'm not trying to add human features to a force that is not human, but it does affect all of us, right? And I think it's easy to forget that our individual choices do matter. It's very easy, I think, to look at corporations who are just dumping tons of toxic chemicals or fracking and just like raping the earth and think, you know, my order at Shein is not a big deal. And I'm not shaming you if that's something that you have, that you do, like to survive, you know, or to have a small amount of what feels like luxury for a moment. It's really just a false, it's just a placeholder for what we actually want, or what I think most of us want when we're in tune with our, with ourselves as part of nature, right? So yeah, we can rage against, I just want to say this to let us bring our anger that may arise during this time, let it be at institutions and people who have a ton of power, right? It's okay to be pissed at each other, right? Like, don't, I'm not telling you to suppress your feelings, but remember who the real enemy is here, and it's billionaires, right? It's not other people in your life who speak wrong, or who, said the wrong thing, or, you know, even did something that just pissed you off. It's not really about them being bad or good, or you being bad or good. In fact, those binaries are so limiting, and it's part of what we really have to fight against. I feel like to come out of this time, even out of the rest of this year, closer in with ourselves and our values rather than getting swept up into rage. Emotionality is fine, and anger is not inherently bad. But unfortunately, when anger is not rooted in any sort of principles, and it's not rooted in reality, right? As we all sort of, what I might say is default reality, right? The reality where all of us sort of agree that like today is Sunday, the 5th. Right? Or is it the 6th? Sunday the 6th. So you can see how in touch with reality I am right now. Anyway, I'm going to pull some cards. I hope that you can hear in my voice that as much as I can feel things swirling around, I feel a lot at this time. I also feel like I have a pretty clear vision, at least for myself going forward. I know what I want to do. I think I know what I want to do. But knowing that when I tell people what I'm going to do, sometimes that takes the wind out of my sails, or, you know, even worse, it can have others sort of, maybe not even on purpose, their assumptions start getting sticky and things get attached that are not part of my will. So I'm not, for once, I am not going to go on about my next steps, my plans, my offerings that I'm planning to do. Because what happens historically is I get really excited. I make all these plans I do recording, I get a workbook together, and then I don't know, there's something that happens where I'm like, this isn't good enough. I don't want to share this with people. It feels unfinished, or it feels this, or it feels that. And then I wait, you know, I sit on it. I did this with the dream work offering that I had intended to release like a year ago now. I sat on it so long that now it's like, well, I have other feelings, and I never released it. And, you know, people are probably wondering what happened to that offering. And then I get in my head about, oh, well, now I'm perceived as a person who doesn't keep their promises. And that's like a thing that I have, yeah, internally I've fought with myself about for a long time, because I create structures for myself to try to feel safe. Then I feel limited by those structures. I tear them apart. And then it's like, oh shit, my structure. I need structure. It's like this cycle. And because I'm in that cycle so often in my life, I forget that, oh yeah, other people and their influences and the way that they behave also is a factor. So when something doesn't work out, I tend to just blame myself. Oh, this is me. Me and my destructive cycle. Me and my fear of being seen. This is me and my Mars in Taurus in the 12th house. You know, like I can't be viewed. Like all my actions can't be perceived. So I just look lazy, or like I don't keep promises, or whatever the fuck the story is this week. So all of that, as much as I've known these things, yeah, they're being illuminated in a new way. And I just realize I have to move differently. And yeah, I have ideas about that. But like I mentioned, I'm not going to share them yet, at least my future plans. This podcast will still likely exist. So you don't have to worry about that. It's the one promise that I've kept to my patrons. Maybe because every full and new moon, or in this case, eclipse, I just feel like there's a lot to share and a lot you need to know. I don't know. I always feel inclined to do them. Okay. So, okay, we have three cards from the Dirt Gems Oracle. Let's go through these first. Why not? The first one is kelp, which I have pulled maybe like once ever before this. I'm going to look at their guidebook, because I personally don't have a strong connection to kelp in my plant medicine practice. Let me see. Okay, it's the Tide Bringer. Okay, so you know how I mentioned earlier, I'm like, I feel like I'm between waves. Yeah. Kelp is ocean medicine. A gorgeous variety of seaweed, kelp is a salty, winding forest that provides home to many creatures. Kelp is home medicine. What matters most when we think about our place in the world is how we locate ourselves in relationship to other living beings. Kelp is where otters live. They tie themselves to the kelp forest in order... Oh, that's so cute. It's on the card. Sorry. In order to not float away and sleep on their backs with their young tied to their bellies, always connected. This is how we can see our ocean medicine friend. It is an umbilical cord to belonging. If you need a sense of home or togetherness, you can call in kelp to weave you into the web of place. Kelp brings many stories and shape-shifting water spirits with them, including the most directly connected for English speakers, the Kelpie. Kelp speaks in omens through their movement and mystery that we have been fascinated by for thousands of years. We too are ocean creatures and perhaps look to kelp to relearn the language of our true home, to speak in shape-shifting with fluency, to find a comfortable place in mystery, to fill our homes with magic. We are surrounded by living entities whose secrets we know in our hearts, but whose language we have forgotten. Kelp can speak to you in the mother tongue of water and salt. Kelp is the home place of our magic. Kelp is the mysterious forest where we travel to and melt into, the thriving, interwoven net of life itself. Kelp is a slippery, salty, nourishing part of the blood and ocean water that runs through our very bodies. Yeah, that's totally relevant. I feel like with what I was just getting done saying earlier about, I think, the point of practice for a lot of us and what is so needed in the world now is to remember that this home we're also a part of. We are literally nature. Nature is not a thing separate from us. Okay, peppermint was the second. It's so funny. This card that's for peppermint has like lily pads and a little, peppermint's like the smallest part of this card. And I love that about it because if you've ever actually grown peppermint yourself, it takes over. It's like a showstopper in that way. You really need to keep it contained in a pot. And I say that as someone who it spilled out and it's taking over the side of my yard. The irresistible. Peppermint is a calm crystal lagoon. Peppermint can dispel the mental chatter that prevents us from being present. They can allow the mind to be cool and clear and offers perspective on how we see ourselves and how we engage with the world, making us a way through the many layers of selves that we have built stories around. If you are feeling queasy about where you find yourself, if you feel unsure or stuck, call on peppermint to be the settling of a nervous stomach and ice on your neck, the soothing of a flustered, overtired babe, coaxing us forward with their delightful tingles. They can help us better digest new ideas, new endeavors, new adventures. Cheery but direct, peppermint can allow us to have a clear yes and a clear no. Ugh, yes. I'm not going to keep reading, but it really is just such a helpful, clarifying plant. So I always have to remember I have it around me, and it can be very useful. Oh, and as I'm flipping through this book, I see Damiana, who I just started working with, and I took a couple of drops of a tincture of Damiana the other night, woke up with the wildest dream. I had the wildest dream about my grandmother dying, for one, which was very upsetting. And the second one was about two people finding each other and falling in love like before there was a sun. So it finding each other in the dark before the sun was created, which is pretty far out, that there are forces maybe in the universe that was... Anyway, Damiana is a dream traveler, according to this book. And yes, it is. This is the Dirt Gems Oracle. I think I mentioned that, but I just want to say it again. So what we did pull, Datura. This is our final plant from the Plant Medicine Oracle, number 38. Datura, Seer of the Unseen. Datura is a queen of the desert, of the dark, of death, and of mystery. Datura is a moon plant, reflecting light into the shadows, glowing and glimmering in the mist. Datura is the seer of the unseen, the silence and the roaring wind. If you are struggling with the unknown, if you are facing a vast transformation in your life, and you feel yourself on the edge of a cliff, Datura is your lifeline. Who doesn't feel that way right now? Ugh, maybe you don't, and good for you if that's where you're at, but Datura emanates strength, power, courage, a poison plant, one that humans are not to take lightly or engage with without clear intentions and honesty. Detour states their boundaries. They allow much space and freedom to roam the unknown tides of the underworld. Detour will open your doors of perception, loosen your grip on what you think is reality, and shift the borders of what you know to be true and normal. Detour expands us. If you are letting go of a familiar reality, like your home, your job, a relationship, or some stable structure you have been counting on, prickly and mysterious Detour will not hold your hand, but they will stand by you, their courage rippling into you, shaking your bones, releasing your dreams into a new world of what is possible. You do not need to be limited by what you know or what you think. Detour encourages the visionary deep inside each of us. The sacred nightshade breaks illusions and allows for the visions of your dreams to come into waking life. Detour is not playing around. If you are too caught up in the mundane world, if you have forgotten your own magic, if you feel alone and lost in the noise, you can sail the desert sands of this windy, moonlit queen. Yes. Okay. I have a small Detour salve, and I'm going to put some of that on right now because, yeah, I mean, I don't know anyone who isn't feeling that. Everybody feels, at least in my little sphere, Detour's message really rings true. Because eclipses, especially that first one, it's just like, it's not even a demand. It's like you have to let go of things. I kept pulling the tower and, you know, when the tower comes, it's like, we can know that things are going to fall, but we don't know what. We don't always know what. Sometimes we do know what, and it's not the easiest to admit, but it's not usually a choice. It's not usually something we're like, yeah, I'm ready to let go of this, right? If you're hanging on to it into eclipse season, you probably don't want to let it go a lot of times, but it's leaving for our own benefit, I want to say, but maybe not. Not everything goes away for our benefit, but how we cope matters, right? Not everything we lose is for our benefit. I have to just say that because sometimes I, Four of Swords, Queen of Swords, Knight of Swords, Eight of Wands. God. All right. I think sometimes I have the tendency to do what a lot of readers do, which is say, oh, it's this bad thing, but oh, it's for our benefit, it's for our soul growth. Okay, maybe so, but not right now. Right now, I'm going to feel like how I feel about it, and I don't need to be told necessarily. Maybe you don't need to be told, oh, well, it's for the best. It's kind of like everything happens for a reason. Well, sometimes the reason is things die, people leave, you know, like it's not always about you, unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, depending on how you look at it. Okay. Coming to the cards ahead and the cards that are here. Four of Swords, Queen of Swords, Knight of Swords, Eight of Wands, and Six of Coins is kind of where we're at here right now. I just want to reiterate to use your energy very wisely. Four of Swords is just this invitation to really unplug. Really try to put down your phone. Put down as much as you can. Be in your own medicine. Be by yourself if you can handle it. Queen of Swords and Knight of Swords, it's like use your words wisely. Use them to create boundaries and to, wisely as in like make sure that they're in line with what you really mean, because misinterpretation is just like it feels like it's woven into the fabric of this time. So just try to be really clear, get documentation, right? Eight of Wands, everything feels like it's moving really fast. I feel that. It feels like it's moving fast and at the same time quite slowly. Like I'm just sitting here and so much is happening. I don't feel like I'm doing anything, but so much is swirling around, right? Eight of Wands. Just, yeah, be aware of not resting in this time, not really giving yourself space to feel your feelings can lead to not a good time, can lead to outbursts and unnecessary, unfavorable entanglements with other people who are also triggered and don't know why, or, you know, just having a hard time. Six of Coins, get what you give. Notice in your relationships, notice in your work, notice in all of the activities that you do here in the material world. Is it giving something back? Are your relationships balanced? Are you just always giving? Are you just always taking? Are you just posting, 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 but it's not leading to sales, but it's a lot of your energy, for example? Just take note, Six of Coins. Six of Coins I see is this, it's not all about give and take and the balance of like financials necessarily. It can also be about our earth, right? Pentacles having to do with earth and being, you know, earth will come back to a balance with or without our participation. So this is where I will choose to show up and participate. It's not about being good or moral necessarily. It's just about acknowledging the laws of the universe that things come back to a balance. You literally will die and one day decay and go back to nature in one way or another. And you sort of get a choice while you're alive. I say sort of, not because you don't get a choice, but we have a lot of factors externally pulling on our choices, right? What my choices are always influenced by the fact that I have a child, for example, right? But worldly limitations and attachments, and otherworldly, right? We still do in some ways get a choice what we do on the planet before the end, before we die. It's not really the end, but the end as we know it in this incarnation. So what we're moving into, Four of Cups. It's a real, what I would say is like a crapshoot, right? Four of Cups. I see this person just carrying like four giant buckets and they're just having trouble carrying it all. And also it's like the trouble of discerning like what is actually valuable. What do I need the most in these buckets? I'm continuously like cleaning my home, but then I also drag things in. And Four of Cups here is just like, notice what's actually filling you and fulfilling you. Where is your fuel, right? It may be that nothing feels exciting or inspiring in this moment. And that is allowed. Really, that is what Four of Cups often is about. It's like, am I missing out on something? Like, am I doing this right? Like, why don't I feel how I thought I'd feel? And we also have Ace of Swords and King of Swords. Basically, if you're a writer, get to it. If you're a communicator in other ways, like if you have a podcast or if you have other ways that you express yourself with words, this is a new beginning as well. And the King of Swords is just this invitation of like, see where you are a master with your words. See where, what are you actually like, what are you great at? Can you lean more into that? Can you accept that, like, actually, this could be your way, you know? Not just for writers, but also just with your mind and your mental patterns. Like, you don't have to know everything to get into King of Swords energy. It's not really possible to know everything, right? But you can know enough to be like, you know what? Actually, in this way, I am an expert. And that's a word that people are really allergic to. I myself, I don't feel like I'm ever an expert. I've been reading tarot for years and years, and I still, you know, somebody calls me an expert and I'm like, But actually lean into it. You don't have to use that word, but can you accept that you have gifts that are good enough that you can see a higher level? Like, you can see a larger picture of where they can lead. Just something to think about. You don't have to, let me repeat it. You don't have to know everything to be like a master in some way, right? I've never written a book, or I have written a book, actually. I've written kids' books, but I've never written like an adult fiction novel, right? But I can write a bunch of articles very easily and quickly and well, right? I'd say that I am pretty good at that. So think about, for you, what is it that you haven't done that maybe like that little seed of doubt of like, oh, I'm not really real at this. I pull cards, but I'm not a real reader. Maybe. I don't know. It's hard to imagine what other people's insecurities are. I just, you know, when I'm sitting here doing these, I'm really just thinking about myself and people I know. And really, I've become more and more isolated, I would say. Being by myself is wonderful, though. I like to be with me. So, just a big deep breath in and out to just ground into this time. Know that it isn't forever. You can be afraid and be brave at the same time. I think being brave, you really have to have some level of fear, or it's not really brave. It's just doing whatever, right? So be brave, you know, show up as best you can. Keep your values in mind. Remember that this too will pass. And what were the plants? Peppermint, kelp, and datura. Those are our plant allies that may be of use, or not of use, but of help at this time. If you want to ask for their help, peppermint is very easy to find. It's everywhere. If you're local to me, I'll give you some. I have plenty. But yeah, hang in there, y'all, and vote. If you do that, I'm not going to lecture you about voting when my faith in the electoral process is just very slim. However, I do still participate because it is one thing I can do. But the key is, I think, not believing that that's the only thing I need to do. And again, Four of Swords here is like, yeah, it's all fucking exhausting. So take good care of yourself through this time. And in general, I will, I'll talk at you soon after we get on the other side of this election season and the next eclipse in a couple days. Bye.